Hello and welcome back to Secrets I'll Never Tell with me, Benedict Cork. Over the past few weeks, I've been checking in with some creative friends of mine about how the pandemic has affected their work, vulnerability and creativity, and loads more. This week's guest is the amazing Kyle Hanagami. Kyle started sharing dance videos online while he was in sophomore year of university, and since then he's grown a huge online community of millions of followers, subscribers, and something ludicrous like 800 million views on YouTube. He's choreographed for some of the biggest names in pop music, like Jennifer Lopez, Britney Spears, Justin Bieber, NSYNC, Nick Jonas, and loads more. He recently won an iHeart Music Award for choreographing Blackpink's Kill This Love, and a movie he worked on, Over the Moon, was just nominated for an Oscar. It's an insanely impressive resume, but he also happens to be one of the nicest, most down-to-earth, approachable humans too. We spoke about how he's turned social media into a really positive space, and also his Letters of Love project, which was a beautiful charity project where he was sent thousands of letters and postcards from his community containing stories of their lives. I love this chat and I hope you do too. This is Secrets I'll Never Tell with Kyle Hanagami.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I am, do you know what? I had my first shot of the vaccine like 4 or 5 hours ago.
Oh, fuck.
A little bit dizzy, but no. I actually feel all right. I had a little nap, made some food. Yeah, if I go silent, it's because I fainted, but it's all good. We're all good.
Okay, good to know.
Oh, how are you doing?
I'm good. Which vaccine are they giving over there?
So I got Moderna. They stopped giving AstraZeneca for a while. I don't know what's going on with that, but to be honest, I'm happy to take any of them.
Right.
Have you had yours yet?
Yeah, I had mine a few months ago. Right. I got Pfizer and I was out. For the second dose, I was like sweating, fever. It was
no
awful.
Way. For the second dose you were? I thought that was happening for the first.
The first, I had like a really bad like COVID arm, I guess they call it.
Right. I've got a bit of that, like a bit of pain at the area they went in.
Yeah, I have like, I had the pain and then I had like a giant bruise that like wrapped around my arm. It was not fun.
Oh, shit. Okay. I'll watch out for that. Were you all right like the day after?
For the first dose, it lasted like 5 days of pain. But the second dose, it was the fever and that only lasted until morning and it was gone by the next day.
Okay. Interesting. Anyway, how are you doing? How's like pandemic life treating you?
It's been good. I mean, all things considered, it's been good. I've been working. I was just in Hawaii for 2 weeks for work.
Yeah, I saw it looked beautiful.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. But yeah, it's just been a lot of traveling because things haven't really picked back up in LA, like to full extent. So everybody, all the filming and music videos they've all been happening outside.
Right. I mean, because you never had like a full on lockdown, did you? You just sort of, it was a bit more responsibility on like you guys to kind of do the right thing, it felt like. You never
In the US, no, we definitely had like full on lockdown for months.
Oh, did you? Oh,
yeah.
Did you?
Okay. Especially LA.
Right. Okay. Because I got the impression that for a lot of it was kind of people like almost judging each other for like having little gatherings and going out and doing stuff. And it felt like
it slowly got to that point, but definitely in the beginning, it was a shit show. Like everything was closed and terrible.
Shit. So did you have loads of work canceled and stuff as well?
Oh yeah. Which is fine by me because I work so hard and I never take breaks.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people have said actually. It's like none of us would have given ourselves the time to just be home and sort of just do all the things we've been putting off for years. And
absolutely. Blessing in disguise.
Have you found any new like little rituals or things you swear by to kind of keep on top of things?
No. I wish I came out of this pandemic like a different person and like a better person and like have fixed all my bad habits, but definitely have not. How about you?
There's no middle ground. Like some people are so like, I found myself, like I've done loads of learning and growth and realizing things and stuff. And then some people are like, absolutely not. I've just watched 18 hours of Netflix today. I'm somewhere in the middle. I've been on my own for most of the year because my housemate left. So I, in a weird way, kind of liked it because I had a lot of time to just sort of deal with stuff, whether it was like actual like bigger life stuff, like emotional stuff, or just like day-to-day kind of learning how to cook things. But it's been all right. There's definitely been some like low moments, but don't know, I'm grateful that we're kind of coming out the other side of it now and things are like slowly returning to normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm actually really interested to know about how also that has affected you with kind of social media and stuff, because obviously you have like such a huge social media presence, but over the last year everything's been on social media. Like there hasn't been as much balance between real life stuff and sort of living a life online. Like how have you found that balance?
I mean, I feel like with the social media stuff, I kind of took a step back from things for a large part. Like within the past year, I think I've released maybe 2 videos on YouTube.
Wow.
Just because I really believe like mental health needs to come first. And I wanted to find, I think the one thing that I took away from the pandemic is like finding more balance. Like it really does. Like when you're forced to stop and like do nothing, like you kind of pick and choose like those moments that are, it's about finding the silver lining. Like it really is. Like when things go to shit and you're forced to not do anything, you look for those moments that really shine through. Mm. And I had a few of those during the pandemic. So I think taking a step back from social media was very helpful in finding that, because it would have been very easy to just bury myself in social media during that time. But it also felt very insensitive to be posting social media stuff while people are like losing their jobs and livelihoods and lives. Like it's just, it didn't feel right. So I really did take a large, giant step back and have slowly been getting back into it.
So nice hearing you say that, actually, because I think a lot of the time, especially in like pre-pandemic life, it always feels like there's such a expectation to just constantly be on it. And I was similar to you. Like in the first few months, I really just sort of took a step back and barely touched my phone most of the time. And then there was that weird kind of murky time, especially in London over last summer, where things had kind of reopened and it was sort of okay. And
right,
could see friends and do stuff. And then it felt like kind of work was trickling back in. You could do like studio sessions in person and all that. And suddenly I've honestly felt that expectation again of like, oh God, I've got to be, if I'm not, putting songs out or sharing a new thing or whatever, then, then am I relevant anymore? Does anyone care? And it's such an odd feeling, because it doesn't mean anything. But I think on the outside, it's almost like your business card in a way. It's like, this is what I've been working on recently. And if you haven't done something recently, it feels like you don't exist. And I hate that it feels like that sometimes.
Yeah, no, there's definitely pressure that comes along with all of it. But I think the one thing that I've learned over the years is just, it really, I don't know. I read this book that was called, I think it was called like 98 Lessons for Living, something like this. And it was this book that was put together by this psychologist who interviewed people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. And like it kind of categorized it by like, this is their advice in life and their advice in love and in work. And but I read the entire book, and a lot of it's like little tiny interviews with these people about their thoughts. And none of them had ever said it's all of these elderly people who are from different backgrounds. So some of them are rich, some of them are poor, some of them were rich and died poor. Like it's all just all across the spectrum. But even though they're all from such different backgrounds, not a single person said that they wish they spent their life working more. Not a single one.
Yeah.
And so that for me was kind of like a aha moment that it really... social media and work, and for me, the two are kind of combined, that ultimately none of it's really going to matter in the end. And I think that I just want to really enjoy the process of what I'm doing, which is why with a lot of the jobs that I was on, like I took a major step back from very large jobs, because I wanted to do something that was more from the ground up and work with new artists and be excited about going to work. And yeah, I've taken that very seriously.
Nice. Is that a book you read in over the last year, or was that something you'd read a few years ago?
I read it a few years ago, and I got to find it, but it's so good. I recommend it.
Yeah,
it sounds
so good. Yeah, yeah, I'm honestly, after this, I'm ordering a copy. Like, I hear that all the time from people saying, it just feels like everyone really just wants to be happy. Like, that's basically everyone's life goal. Like, with all the other noise and stuff that comes along with living. And obviously, there are some points, like, for instance, in a pandemic, but also other things that come along in life just sort of pop up. You're not going to be happy for a while. But really, like, day to day, I would just like to wake up and just feel good and just... and sometimes work makes me feel really good, but sometimes it can be a bit much, especially when it's balancing that with, like... with social media and stuff like that, you can't really escape it these days. So I'm just trying to find that. I keep coming back to the work balance, but I just keep on trying to find that balance between everything, because it's a tricky one to find. But I want to be one of those 90-year-olds that looks back on my life and is like, do you know what? I made the right choices in my like 20s and 30s so that I could actually enjoy things.
No, completely.
Yeah, I don't want to have big regrets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you also, because hearing you say you're a bit of a workaholic as well, do you... Like, I read an article you did with Billboard a few years ago that you said you didn't start dancing until you, I think it was freshman year of university, is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
And before that, you thought dance was boring, which is pretty hilarious to think that you're now one of the biggest choreographers in the world. Was it like a lot of blood, sweat and tears before you felt like you could really find your place in the dance world and find that sort of work-life balance?
I mean, when I first started dancing, there hadn't been anybody who created a career through social media. It just didn't exist. So I think a lot of it was navigating through uncharted terrain. Like, there was no example of, there were no influencers. There was nobody who had, that I could look up to and say, oh, they did it, I can do it that way too. So it was scary. Like, it really was. It was a lot of... trial and error. It was a lot of getting fired from jobs. Like, I'd been fired from the very first jobs that I went into because I wasn't ready for them. And I learned a lot, and I failed again and again. Granted, there were a few like successes like sprinkled throughout there, but there were definitely a lot of failures. And I think that like failure is the best teacher.
100%.
So I mean it was not a easy path by any means.
Yeah, and as much as I guess the internet and social media get a bit of a bad rep, like, that's the kind of beautiful thing about it. And for instance, with you, is like, you can kind of carve your own lane, you can carve your own career out of the things you love, whereas the traditional, like in music especially, you know, 10 years ago, it was so hard to get access to like your favorite, if you're a fan, like your favorite artist, whatever, but if you're a musician, like your favorite songwriters or producers or people you want to work with and stuff. Whereas these days, so long as you can find that good relationship with it, like, it's such a useful tool to be able to just reach out.
Absolutely.
Like, even yesterday, I just reached out to someone to want to do a writing session with them because I heard the song. I was like, this is so beautiful. And within about 20 minutes, he was like, yeah, let's do it. Why not? And like, that would just never would have happened 5-10 years ago. Like, it would be through that publisher, through that manager, blah, blah, blah. And it's such a nice way of doing things.
No, completely. I mean, yeah, I hope that there's some things that from the pandemic that they stay that way.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Something else I'd love to hear you talk about a bit is your Letters of Love project. I know it was quite a while back, but when I heard about it, I was reading up about it. It was it seemed like such a beautiful way of like connecting with people and hearing their stories. What was that process like for you? And can you talk a little bit about what it was?
I mean, so Letters of Love was something that I started on my social media back in 2014. So a very long time ago. No, 2013 maybe? Oh, it was a very long time ago.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And I just wanted my subscribers to send in letters about anything in the entire world as long as it was about love. And I got like 40,000 letters from people from all over the world to this PO box. And so it was just, I don't know. It was so kind of, it felt like there's certain things that you do throughout your life that you feel like you're doing something that's much bigger than yourself. And that felt like one of those moments, like reading through people's letters. There were everything from like kindergarten teachers who made it like their school project. So you get like these like 5-year olds drawing like what they love. It was just so cute. And then you would receive letters from some woman who's from Ohio, who she lost her husband to cancer, and that how much she misses him and how broken she feels. And it was like this, it felt like this complete spectrum of the human experience that was in these letters. Yeah, it was so crazy. And it was so cool to figure out a way. And it was so unintentional. It didn't start this way, but it felt like it turned into this way to connect what social media is to actually being human.
Yeah. And giving people that space to kind of be vulnerable and be honest about those things. Like, I feel like so many people are willing to be vulnerable if you give them a space, like you give them permission.
Absolutely.
It's almost like when someone tells you they're about to cry before they actually cry. It's like to see if you're going to be okay with it. It's like, if you send me a letter with, you know, beautiful stories in, and then people just open up, and it's amazing. Yeah. Also, during that project, you also decided to be open about your own leukemia diagnosis, which I'm sure was so helpful for so many people. But was that a cathartic thing for you to do, or was it quite scary?
It was a little bit of both. I mean, the weird thing was I started Letters of Love, and I had done it for a few years, and every year that I did it, I told people, I was like, for every letter that you sent in, I will donate 10 cents of my own money to cancer research.
Mm.
And then I think by the third or the fourth year, I got diagnosed with cancer. So it became kind of like this full circle moment. And again, it's like one of those things that like you just, it feels like it's bigger than yourself.
Mm.
And so, yeah, like, I mean, the great thing about social media for me is it's not, for me, I don't find social media to be people who are just fans. It's people who have seen my journey and seen my progression in the entertainment industry and have been there and rooted for me and seen me fail. Those are the people that follow me.
Mm.
And those are the people that like I constantly find myself coming back to and creating for, are the people who have seen me level up over time and time again.
Yeah, and so, they're rooting for you.
Yeah, it's really kind of cool. And I feel like that is what social media is about, is like, it really is. It's about connection. It's not about fandom. It's like you can obviously use it as a business tool. And granted, I know that I do at times. But what I love social media for is connection.
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely, when I was diagnosed with leukemia, it felt like it was kind of a natural thing. Like, hey, these people have been with me from the very beginning. This is a major thing that I'm going through. No, I don't know what's going to happen, but I feel like it's something that I want to share, not necessarily something that I need to share, but something that it's just like it sounds so cheesy, and I'm going to hate myself listening to this back. But like, it's like your family. Like, you, if something monumental happens in your life, like, you want to share it with your family. And ultimately, that's kind of what it felt like my subscribers and supporters have become.
But I don't think that sounds cheesy at all. I just think it sounds like such a positive space, and to have, whether it's 10 people or a million people that are rooting for you and supporting you. And like I said, seeing you through your journey and kind of feeling like an ownership over you, but in a really nice way, like they want you to succeed. But then if you actually share your struggles, like it almost makes you feel even closer. I remember, it's not at all on this level, but a few years ago, I'd been writing loads of songs about like other situations in my life that weren't super personal. And you know, I was in a band for a few years. I mean, you kind of write from like a bit more of a third person kind of view. Right. And then I'd had a course of therapy and put a song out about it. And the amount of messages from people just saying like, oh my God, I thought I was the only person going through this right now. Like it's still every year on year, the conversation gets a little bit better and a little bit less taboo. But the amount of people saying I've had exactly the same type of therapy, it's like completely saved me. And even from friends that I had no idea were going through it. And it suddenly just opened up this whole kind of conversation about vulnerability and stuff that I'd never knew existed. And since then, I'm just trying to make an effort in my day-to-day life as well as like online to just be honest about stuff. Like if I'm having a bit of a shit day, like just say it rather than try and kind of make everything seem rosy and beautiful because that's what people want. And that, you know, you don't want to burden someone else with your issues. Like actually people do want to be there for you and root for you and help you.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that.
Thanks. I've got one more question for you. I'm just interested to know, so as we sort of like slowly creep back to like normality and normal life, like what are you hoping is on the horizon for you in the next couple of years?
I mean, there are a few projects that I've been working on throughout the pandemic, which has been very nice. And again, I consider myself to be very, very, very lucky. Like not based on skill set, not based on a talent or anything else, like pure luck.
Well, you also work incredibly hard, but I appreciate that you're...
Yes,
you're
but still there. At the same time, like I know that there's so many people who have lost their jobs and it could have just as easily been myself.
Yeah, of course.
So I consider myself to be very lucky, but there is a TV show that we sold before the pandemic. So we've actually spent the entire pandemic being in pre-production for the TV show.
Congratulations, that's awesome.
No, thank you. And then there are a few other big projects that are in the works as well that I can't talk about. but yeah, I mean, I think coming out of this pandemic, knock on wood, I just want to continue doing jobs that I'm inspired to do with people who inspire me.
Love that. What a beautiful way to end. Thank you so much for doing this. Honestly, I'm so grateful. And I'm really excited to watch the show. And I also really need you to teach me how to dance one day. But I can't wait to come back to California and say hey.
I mean, I am still waiting for a music video from you that needs choreography.
Oh my God, I would love that. Honestly, like I haven't told many people this story before, but I had a few dance lessons when I was a kid, when I was like maybe 7 or 8 years old, and I loved it, absolutely loved it. And then I quit because a kid in my year at primary school told me it like wasn't cool. And I regret it so much because I love to dance now, but I can't actually dance. Like I can't do it properly, but I just love to like put music on and just have a dance. But
maybe one you just day haven't had the right teacher.
Well, quite. But honestly, one day I just want to do a massive full-on dance music video and just go for it. Like I think
it's gonna happen.
Please, I'd love that.
I'm excited.
Well, thanks so much. Have a wicked rest of your day. Thanks for fitting me in. I really appreciate it.
Of course. We'll talk soon, Ben.
Yeah, I'll catch you soon. All right, bye. Oh, what a lovely human being. I really hope you enjoyed that chat. I am gonna go have a long lie down and sweat out this vaccine. But until next week, I'd really appreciate it if you could give the podcast a little rating, maybe a review or anything else you fancy doing. It just helps people find us. Thank you so much for listening and I'll catch you soon. Bye.